Acts chapter 16 is our study this morning. Let's look at verse 14. Acts 16, verse 14. And we're taking our title for the message from this verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia. She was there at a certain time to meet a certain man, a certain preacher. And she was in a certain business. She was a businesswoman selling her goods, seller of purple. She was of the city of Thyatira, and she was walking in what light God had given her, worshiping God, and she heard us, Paul and Silas, Timothy, whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. God opened her heart. Now here's the title. The Lord must open our heart. He must work in us the will of God. Salvation by the grace of God is a heart work. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's a heart work upon the sinner. It is Almighty God that must wound and convict of sin. And it's the same God who must heal us. It is the same God that must raise us up from the dead to enable us to hear the gospel, to enable us to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe the gospel are those who are born of God the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason that Lydia heard, and that's the only reason that we hear the gospel. We have been begotten of God by the power of God. You hath he quickened who were dead. You remember the scripture in 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that person born of God. We only believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now that's exactly what happened to Lydia. And that's exactly what happens to all those who are effectually called with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a stripping and there is a filling. There is an emptying and there is a completing and a making whole. Now, let's go back to verse 6, Acts 16, verse 6, 7, and 8. So the churches were established in the faith and increased daily in the number. And Paul moved on after he had preached to those churches, verse 6, when he had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, permitted them not. And they, passing by Mysia, you think about that, the Apostle Paul passing by some of these cities, and he came down to the city of Troas. We see the Lord leading and guiding the apostle and these men. Paul and Silas and Timothy traveled and preached the gospel. We see where God led them to go and to preach. They were forbidden at this time to preach in Asia, although later he does. They were forbidden to go into Bithynia, although on his third trip he did. And churches were established in those areas. We find when Peter writes his first epistle to the believers there in Asia and Bithynia, he writes this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that God had an elect there, because later they were called out, but this time was not the time when they were called with the gospel. So Paul bypasses those areas, and he probably didn't really know why, but the Lord had a purpose in all this. Now look at verse 9. And a vision, as he goes past Mysia, and he comes down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. And I love this statement. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. While Paul was at Troas, and while he was sleeping, God sent him a special vision where to go and where to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know how that works, because I've never had a vision like that. I must admit, I do have dreams, but most of the time my dreams are just crazy dreams like yours. I don't know much how this worked with Apostle Paul, but it did. Him being a special apostle, and God at that time, because the Word of God wasn't complete, we have the completed Word. We don't need a vision. We have the record of God. But at that time, God spoke to certain men by dreams and visions. Now, I would be very wary of any man that says, I had a vision and God spoke to me last night. I'd run from him as fast as I could. God speaks to his people today through the Word. Now, no doubt, Paul had been seeking the will of the Lord in this matter and received the answer from the Lord in an unusual and special way. This vision was about sinners needing to hear the gospel, in need of salvation, in need of the forgiveness of sin. The need is still there today, is it not? I believe the Lord is still calling and sending men to preach the gospel to his people wherever they may be. Now, I thought of three things in this regard of come over and help us. In Ashland, Kentucky in 1950, there was a church there in Ashland who sent out a call to a man by the name of Rolf Barnard. And they sent out a call to him to come over to Ashland, Kentucky and preach the gospel. And he did. In April of 1950, he came there preaching the gospel. You know who else came to town that same week that Rolf Barnard came to Ashland, Kentucky in April 1950? Henry Mahan hit the town the same day, the same week, in the same meeting. And Rolf preached the gospel of God's sovereign saving purpose in saving sinners. And the Lord saved that young preacher named Henry Mahan. Isn't that amazing? Come over and help us. In 1985 and 1986, here in the Zebulun community, you remember the story of Paul Thacker. Paul Thacker was a construction man, a businessman in this city. And the Lord revealed the gospel to him through the ministry of Brother Mahan in Ashland. And in 1986, when Paul had completed this building, and he sent out the call to Pastor Mahan in Ashland, come over and help us. And in 1986, I came here, that meeting, I actually drove the vehicle and drove Pastor Mahan up to preach the gospel that Sunday evening in April of 1986. Come over and help us. See, the Lord is still using men today to raise up and establish gospel churches. How we've been blessed through that, haven't we? Rolf Barnard came to Asheville in 1950. That's 70 years ago. 70 years ago. And Brother Mahan came here, preached the gospel to the folks here in 1986. And then I thought of another thing, too. In 2005, 2006, I got acquainted with some people in Kingsport, Tennessee. People that I didn't know, had never met, but got acquainted with them through the internet ministry that I had established for Brother Mahan. And you know what they said? They said, come over and help us. We want to establish a gospel ministry here in Kingsport. And they called me to come and preach the gospel to them, and I did that almost every Sunday for 6 years, Sunday evening. And the Lord established a gospel ministry there and raised up Gabe Stoniker 7 years ago almost now to go there almost 8 years ago now to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how the Lord uses these things? The Lord's still calling and sending men. Come over and help us. And that's what we need. As soon, look at verse 10 now, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Called us to do what?
go over there and let's start a soup kitchen. People over there in Philippi need a soup kitchen. Let's go there and build a hospital. People need a hospital there in Philippi.
No, the Lord called us to preach the gospel. That's the whole business of God's church, is to preach the gospel and minister to the sent of God. As soon as the Apostle Paul received his marching orders, he followed the word of the Lord, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the primary purpose of every gospel church, when we gather together to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from the word of the Lord. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as we studied in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a command and mandate the Lord has given to His church. He has not rescinded the order or canceled the order. It's still an ongoing, current command today to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. They went there and they preached the decrees ordered and ordained of God. Now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, it reminded me of this verse, and I was going back over this morning, and this verse came to my mind. These are the words of John the Baptist regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God. He said, the Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. To everyone who believes that gospel, that's the power of God and the salvation. For in that gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed, how God saves sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11 and 12 in our text. Loosing from Troas, we came straight course to Samothracia, and next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city, that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were there certain days, and on the Sabbath day we went out down by the riverside. Not to go fishing, not for fish, but fishing for men. You remember the Lord said to His apostles, I'll make you fishers of men? Paul and his companions sailed from Troas, north across the Aegean Sea, to the region of Macedonia in the chief city of Philippi, which is part of the Roman Empire. It was a city full of paganism. It was a city full of idolatry and religious people. And we know the Lord was pleased to raise up a gospel church there. Here's the point. The Lord has His elect where they are. And He will send a gospel preacher there to call them out with the word of truth, the gospel. Not with tricks, not with gimmicks, not with the lies of men, but He calls them out with the preaching of the gospel truth. Our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It pleased God by preaching to call out His people. That's why we emphasize upon preaching Christ, His person, and His glorious work. On the Sabbath day, Paul was in the city abiding certain days. When it came around to that Jewish Sabbath day, they sought a place to worship. Usually he went to the synagogue, remember? Turn one page to Acts 17. We're going to see this. Usually on the Sabbath day, he headed to the Jewish synagogue to find an audience to preach the gospel. Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis, Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, also a region of Macedonia. where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. Some believed those things, and some did not believe those things. Evidently, here in Philippi, there was not enough Jewish people to establish a synagogue, an assembly of the Jews, so they met down by the riverside. And it was known. Look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was known to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, I just kind of picture this in my mind. Down by the riverside. Here's a river flowing. Maybe Paul took the water of life as his text. He said, see that river? Christ is that river. He is the water of life. I know one thing for sure. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these women. I would rather he went down and sat down with them, probably on a nice smooth rock, and he taught them very clearly and plainly the Word of God. Who the Lord Jesus Christ is, God Almighty in the flesh, what He has done for His people, putting away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and the Lord bless the Word of the Lord. Now, I thought about this, and I'm sure that you would agree with me. I'd rather meet on the riverbank with the people of God and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than any beautiful cathedral that men have built where the gospel is denied. Wouldn't you? I'd rather meet in a barn and a hayloft where the gospel is preached because the Lord is there than any great big Gothic cathedral in Rome or somewhere else. These women, look at verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia. The Lord knows His sheep by name. You reckon how long the Lord has known this woman? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. A certain woman named Lydia, she's a seller of purple, city of the Thyatira. She worshipped the God of Israel. She heard us, and through hearing of the gospel, the Lord opened her heart. She attended to the things which were spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Now, there were many women and children there, probably that morning, but God had His eye on one particular woman. Her name is Lydia. She was chosen by God in that eternal covenant of grace. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. She was redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was not redeemed with anything else, tradition or ceremony, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, she must be called out of darkness to God's marvelous light and quickened by the Holy Spirit and made a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to her that morning on the riverbank. The Lord still is operating the same way today. Now, several things, four things I want us to see in this verse. First of all is this, the sovereign providence of God arranging all things in this meeting. It wasn't an accident, was it? Paul was there on purpose, on a certain day at a certain time, known unto God all of his works from the beginning, and a certain woman met a certain apostle at a certain place, a certain day, a certain time. How did all that happen? God arranged it. Aren't His arrangements beautiful and wonderful? Lydia was from Thyatira, Asia, where Paul was forbidden to go. We see the Lord controlling all events to bring this woman to hear the gospel from the lips of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Before the world began, God chose in time and place and means to call her out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the Scriptures call that a time of love. Lydia must hear the gospel and she must be given faith to believe it, and she was. When Peter writes about that, he said that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, this is true of everyone whom God saves. It's no accident that you bumped into the gospel. God sent you here on purpose, and God sent me here on purpose, and our paths crossed with the gospel, and God was pleased to use the preached word to call you out and to save you by His grace. This is true of your life and mine. God saves every sinner whom He wisely saved by His purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Can't you see that in your conversion experience? Not that we're seeking any kind of an experience, but salvation that we have by the grace of God is certainly something we experience, isn't it? Second thing is this. The Lord saved Lydia by His grace alone. She was a religious woman. She was down that morning, according to the Jewish law, approaching and worshiping God in the light and the way that she knew. She didn't know anything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't know anything about salvation. God saved her by His grace alone. It was a sovereign, irresistible grace of God that opened her heart and gave her faith. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. This grace of God is more than just a divine attribute of God. It's a divine determination and sovereign operation of God upon the heart. God operates upon the heart. If you turn over to Romans 10, it tells us here about the heart. Look at verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 17, Romans 10. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, the Word, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We only believe the gospel by the grace of God. Remember Peter's sermon in Acts 15:11 when he stood up in that council and he said, "Oh, we believe through the grace of God we shall be saved, even as others." God alone determines who will be saved. It's not determined by the puny, sinful will of the creature, is it? Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Grace is never caused by us, merited by us, earned by us. The only reason for grace is grace, the grace of God. Of His fullness, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He's full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. That's the reason for grace. It's grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace is eternal, sovereign, like His love. He's loved His people with an everlasting love. Therefore, He is gracious unto His people. We only have a good hope of salvation through grace. Grace alone. Grace alone. So here's the third thing. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. Now remember in Acts chapter 2 when we studied over there, when Peter preached there, that great sermon at Pentecost, he said, "This same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ." You remember what it said in the next verse? "And their heart was pricked." God convicted and broke their heart. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. And that's what must happen with us. God must do a work in our heart. God changed her will, created an interest in her mind, worked upon her thoughts, corrected her thoughts about the great salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something she could not do for herself. She had no desire to change her ways of her fleshly religion. God must do this alone. This is a work of God alone in the heart. Remember what we read a moment ago in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Remember? Being confident of this very thing, that God who hath begun a good work in you, He will finish it in the day of His power. That's what salvation is. It's God invading us. Our mind, our thoughts, our will, our affection, the whole you. That's what happens when God does a work of grace in the heart. Only our great God, who created the heart, can rule the heart and save us by His grace. Only God alone can give us an understanding to reveal to the revealed mysteries of the gospel and enlighten our mind and inspire our heart. You see, it's God who's hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Why? Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. You see, the Lord has come and He's given us an understanding of things we don't know naturally. The mysteries of the gospel are hidden. They must be revealed to us. John writes this, "We know that the Son of God has come, and He's given us an understanding." Oh, we understand who we are. Sinful, sinful, sinful. And we understand who He is. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. How can this sinful man be reconciled to this holy God? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling us unto Himself. John writes this, "We know the Son of God has come. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God. And this is eternal life." Eternal life is to know the true and living God as He's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God, the God of all grace and the Father of all mercies, can show us and reveal unto us the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Peter again said before that Sanhedrin council, "Neither is there salvation in any other, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Only the God of all light can command the light of the gospel to shine in our dead and darkened heart. And He does that by His command. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the original creation, has commanded the light of the gospel to shine in our heart that we might see the glory of God, the glory of His mercy, the glory of His love in the face of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God alone can cause us to set our affection on things above instead of our things of this earth, to set our love upon Him. We only love Him because He first loved us. Only God alone can make us love those things that we once hated. What do we love by nature? Men love darkness, not the light, because their deeds are evil. God must cause us to love Him, or we never will love Him. Men are born in sin, hating God. And He's got to do something radical in us to make us to love Him. Only God can strip us and then clothe us. Only God can empty us and then fill us. You remember the psalmist said, he said, "I'm nigh them of a broken heart. I save us such as be of a contrite spirit." Only God can take away that stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. Only God can give us a repentant heart. Only God can grant us faith to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's obvious and evident to every person who's been taught of God that salvation is of the Lord. It's His doing. This is the Lord's doing, as the psalmist said. Oh, it's marvelous. It is marvelous in our eyes. She heard us speak, whose heart the Lord opened. That's salvation. And she attended unto the things which she heard Paul speak, and she fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure she appreciated Paul because she opens up her home, but she loved the one that Paul preached. Paul preached Christ as everything in salvation. Now, watch what happens. Watch what happens in verse 15. And I'll just be a minute here. Verse 15. And when she was baptized, and her household baptized, that is, confessing Christ in believer's baptism, she sought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, faithfully believing the Lord Jesus Christ, come into my house and stay with us, and let us open our home unto you. And she constrained us. She wouldn't let him go. She said, you come to our house. Now, she believed the gospel and was baptized according to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's his command, Matthew 28. The Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, came and spake unto the apostles and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, like Enoch, who heard the gospel and was given faith to believe the gospel. Turn back over there to Acts chapter 8. Remember the eunuch? Not Enoch, I mean the eunuch. Like the eunuch who heard the gospel and was given faith to believe. In Acts chapter 8, remember he had gone to Jerusalem seeking something that he was missing, and he was returning to his home country, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet, verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now watch this carefully. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, confessing Christ as everything in salvation. Now, we know that baptism is not salvation. Baptism does not wash away sin. Baptism does not put us into the kingdom of Christ. But it is the biblical way to publicly confess Christ as everything in salvation. That is saying, by being baptized as a believer, baptism is for believers. Remember, she heard the word and believed it, and then she was baptized. It's a biblical way to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. His death is our death. His burial is our burial. His resurrection, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He is everything in our salvation, and that's what baptism confesses, a death, burial, and resurrection. God opened her heart, and then Lydia opened her home. God loved her, and she loved the gospel that she heard from the mouth of Paul and Silas, and loved them for telling her the truth. And she constrained us. Now, as I read earlier, don't turn to it because we read it earlier, when Paul and Silas and Timothy was let out of prison there in Philippi, verse 40, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when she had seen the brethren and comforted them, they departed. God opened her heart, made her a new creature, and she opened her home. You see, God has given us that love in our heart,
and it makes us to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. Now here's the prayer for us. May God be pleased to do that for us. To open our heart, to give us a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us faith in Him, to give us ears to hear Him, and may God do this work of grace in our heart. Open our heart and make us willing in the day of His power, and cause us to believe and love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great story? I love those stories. Her story is a story of everyone who's heard and believed the gospel. You can look back through your life, how God in His purpose and His grace ordered everything and brought you to the place where you heard the gospel. And then God saved you by His grace.